Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, of course, you cannot control the news cycle, and the news cycle, unfortunately, just horrific lately, and certainly after yesterday's shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, which we're going to spend the whole show on it tomorrow, and today I already had scheduled with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, but tomorrow we'll be picking up the conversation on that. And if you want to join us today after the show, we are on Facebook Live, so we're at facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's our page address there. So if you just go to Facebook and put in the search box C2A Radio, just run it all together, the letter C, the number 2, the letter A. You can join us on Facebook Live during the show, and the camera's on here in the studio. And I've got my good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital on the line with us. And so after the show today, as we do every day with Facebook Live, after the show, and the show ends on the radio, we spend a few minutes in prayer together. So it's really been a great little relationship that God has built on this, kind of on the side of the radio show through Facebook Live. So if you want to join us this afternoon after the show's over, we're going to be praying for the people of Sutherland Springs and the people, of course, of First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs. We're also going to be praying for David and his wife and their son, Eric, who's been struggling with some health issues today. And David texted me, and we got on the phone and prayed together. So we're going to pray for David's family, too, after the show is over. And we might even do that in the last segment of the show so we can include everybody in on that, David. But it's good to hear your voice. Good to talk to you. Of course, welcome back. How are you?
I'm glad to be back. You know, the power of prayer really does change things, and I'm a believer in that as well as you are, Steve, and many others. And we need to pray for our land, that God would heal our land, you know, and bring back repentance and bring back our godly views to our country. I'm looking forward to that after the show or at the end of the show if we have time.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And thanks so much for being here. And yeah, these are heavy days. Obviously, just a week ago in New York City, not long over a month ago back in Las Vegas. I've actually got a meeting coming up in Vegas. I'm going to fly in and out. I'll only be there for about 36 hours, but I'm going to go by and pray at that spot by the Mandalay Hotel. I know you guys have been there before in that area. And yeah, these are just very difficult days. And even though there's been some backlash, of course, mostly on the liberal left, about people saying we need to pray for Sutherland Springs and we need to pray for these people. And there's been backlash, David, about prayer. But we know prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. God wants us to pray. God wants us to communicate with him and go before him as we would with our earthly daddies. And so that's what we must continue to do. And our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual, right? For taking down strongholds. And we have to be people of prayer, and we have to pray without ceasing, which means we should be in an attitude of prayer all the time. And we'll definitely do that as much as we can today on the show. Well, we've got to go ahead.
I was just going to say, absolutely. You know, one of the people that are against this, if their son or daughter or husband or wife are in the hospital, and somebody who is a believer came in contact with them and said, you know, can I just pray for a moment for them? I think those people would welcome that. Yeah. And, you know, that's in the time of crisis, that's the time when we need the Lord to move more than ever. And I think that every person will have that sometime in their life, at least once. And, you know, let's pray that God opens their eyes to that, and not causing that, but would use that environment when that happens.
Absolutely. Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, we've got kind of a full slate of issues here. And by the way, David and I have a full slate of things we're going to talk about. It's a full Money Monday update, which we do the first Monday of each month. Because just a little reminder, Jesus talked a lot about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. And because it's all over the scriptures and because Jesus talked about it, that's why we talk about it regularly here on Call to Action Radio. And I know for some folks, if you're not all that much into investing, that you sit there and go, well, this isn't really for me. And this show may not necessarily be for you, but But dealing with our finances, dealing with our money, learning how to handle our portfolios and the financial means that God places into our care, custody, and control while we're here on earth is a big deal to the Lord, and it should be a big deal to all of us. That's why it's always great to have David with us to help us through some complex issues and help us be better stewards of the finances that the Lord does give us. And David, of course, and Landmark Capital, their specialty is in the precious metals arena. So if you have a question about that, and you can enter, we'd be happy for you to interrupt us today. If you have a question specifically about dealing with precious metals as an investment and you want to ask a question, we'll be happy to interrupt kind of our lineup here today on the show and take your call and get you an answer from David if he's able to help you, and I'm sure he will be able to. So if you want to call in today during the show and ask a question, again, specifically keep it to kind of precious metals type questions. That'll make it easier for us to dive right in it. If you want to get a question on the table, 866-348-7884 is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. As we proceed through the show today, feel free to call in. First thing, Senate passed that 2018 budget, and obviously there's some pushback on that. So tell us a little bit from your perspective, David, about the budget and what's the pushback about and how serious do we need to look at this?
Well, I think it's a great tax bill. We haven't had tax revival or tax plan being reissued since Reagan. What this one is a spending cuts or less tax revenue coming into the government, collecting $1.5 trillion in the next 10 years. So what this is going to do is put, it's going to benefit people for about $4,000 per household. We're going to have more money. So even in people who don't have investments for themselves, this is a great way of getting extra money. So you're going to have lower taxes for yourself, put money back in your pocket. That's supposed to help stimulate the economy. It creates another problem, though. It creates more deficit. In other words, less money coming into the government means the money, we need more money to support the government. So where are they going to get that? That's the problem. And that's where the fight of the budget, it's not a big fight. It's just a tweaking of it. They're lowering the tax plan, also corporate tax rate from 35% down to 20. So that's a good deal. They're taking away some credit for mortgage. If you're in an upper class mortgage of over $500,000, they're lowering that from $1 million to $500,000. So that's not going to affect a whole bunch of people unless you live in these blue states like New York and New Jersey. And those are the ones that are having a problem with this. Yeah. Plus, you don't get to write off the tax, the local tax, the
right,
state
the local
tax
state
you're paying.
Tax stuff. Right. We're going to pick it up right there. A couple more things about that budget and then a tax plan. A lot of other things to discuss today. It is a Money Monday here on Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble with my good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you doing another Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And if you have some questions, want to get some information, some education, you can always get a hold of them. You can give them a shout out, 844-879-8882 if you want to get some information there, or landmarkgold.com is their website. And the first Monday of the month, David and I do a whole show together, and we've got a whole slew of things to talk about. But if you do have a question specifically about precious metals and using that as an investment device, feel free to give us a call. We'll stop what we're doing and talk to you and try to get you an answer from David. We'd have him on here, you know, for a full show once a month and then an update after that. But oftentimes I don't open up the phones on Money Mondays, and I need to start doing that because I know people have questions. So if you want to give us a call and you have a question for David, feel free to do that. 866-348-7884 is our number, or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go over here right quick to James, who's calling in from Lincoln, Nebraska. James, you're on with Steve and David. I know you had a question about silver. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a question about, I've been buying silver over the years here, and it just doesn't seem like it goes up very much. I don't know if it's a wise investment or if I should put the money into something else, or if you think it's going to go up.
Yeah, that's a great question. James, by the way, what station are you listening to out there in Lincoln?
99.3.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I remember that one out there. That's awesome. Thanks. And that's a great question, David. That's the answer to James's question about is silver worth the investment? And you know, it operates differently than gold, obviously, but what do you think about that?
Well, James, thanks for calling. And I think my opinion of silver, I'm not anti-silver, but if I had the choice to invest in silver or gold, I'd probably go gold. I'm less speculative, less risky, and it's the gold market is more widely bought, and it's significantly less volatile. So I don't know when you were buying, but we had higher markets that, when any market gets in a bubble or expands more than the fundamentals, that market's going to correct. And gold and silver did correct at its highs, and now we're in the mining cost of silver. So there's value now in the market. There wasn't here in 2012, 13, and 14, and then it started to make some adjustments to get back down to the normality level. So we're in a value system now, once again, in silver, also with gold. I think maybe you should look at this as a tool of a diversification rather than the only investment vehicle. I don't know if James, if you have any other investments like stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. I'm not a guy who says put all your eggs in one basket, and that goes for not just investing in silver, but other areas. And this is one reason of many why Steve and I get along real well. So I would be diversified. I wouldn't stop investing silver at these levels, but I'd maybe look at investing in gold if you have the assets to do that. And you can call my company and talk to one of my representatives, and we can give you more in-depth information on that that would be tailor-made for you.
Okay.
Is that helpful, yeah. James?
Yeah, definitely. I just everybody says, oh, silver's going to go up and up. It doesn't ever seem to move too much, so...
I'm not one of those that you hear on Steve's program or any of the other national radio programs and never have said those things. I know you know that, but I'm more conservative than most. I don't adhere to those, the gold and silver market's going to go to these crazy numbers. I think over time it's going to go up, and I think when we have uncertainty, it causes it to go up more than less. But, this is a buy and hold strategy. Think of it, this is the turtle in the race. The turtle's been beating the rabbit. If you look at numbers, stocks have gone up in the last, since 2001, about 104% using the Dow as an indicator, and gold has gone up 406%. So, I mean, it's outperformed stocks. Silver's done less than that, but you got to hold it a longer period of time. You sound fairly young. I would encourage you to keep investing, but maybe diversify and get some advice from one of my representatives. They'll help you out with all of that.
Okay. That sounds great.
Great. Okay. Thanks, James. Thanks for calling in today. God bless you.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Sure, man. Happy to help. And so, again, if you want to talk to anybody on David's team, I've been out to Phoenix and met with them and had lunch with them. He's got a great team out there, and they're just there to serve you. So if you want to get some information, you have any questions, feel free to give them a call. Their number is 844-879-8882. Well, obviously, President Trump just announced who he's going to nominate to replace Janet Yellen as the new Fed chairman. It's Jerome Powell, who's been in the Fed for a while anyway, but as we were talking off the air, a little green behind the ears. So what do you think of this particular pick?
Well, I think he's a great guy, and he does follow in the same aspects of beliefs that Janet Yellen has been doing, which is low interest rate environment and print money and allow the Treasury to create U.S. Treasuries to support the deficit and continue with that in line. But he's also following in her footsteps, saying we're going to unravel the balance sheet and raise interest rates. So that's where, it doesn't really matter, who the next Fed is, in my opinion. It matters what the math says, and the math shows us that we're going to have some problems. Evidence why you're seeing that showing up in the bond market, if we can tie all this in together, the math is simple this. Our country overspends. We create a treasury bill to support our overspending, and now we're going to have less revenue if this budget or this tax plan goes through. We're going to have less money to the government, so it's going to create a bigger hole. So we're going to have to do something about that hole because it's not working even now, and we're digging ourselves deeper in our sovereign debt that's now over $20 trillion. So this is now showing that it's going to show up in the bond market, and that's what's happening and started a massive happening in early 2017. Something in the market is shifting. We move from deflation towards now inflationary outlook, and it looks like inflation expectations, Steve, are in a multi-year trend now. So we're going to see the next time we're seeing big yields here in the Treasury broke out on a downtrend. This is bond trading now. And keep in mind, bonds are much larger than stocks. The global bond market is $100 trillion. Contrasted, the global stock market is $64 trillion. Wow, so $40 trillion of the $100 trillion of the bond market is made up in U.S. bonds, specifically treasuries. So this is in a dramatic area that's going to lead to some major problems. Some are saying even we're in a bond bubble forming.
Yeah, and the bond market, just in layman's terms, really, isn't that just how America kind of finances its debt?
Yeah, that's simple. Simply put, in layman's terms, there are different types of bonds, but the U.S. Treasury is a bond, and there's lots of treasuries out there. And when they raise interest rates, it causes problems in the bond market, and that's what's getting ready to happen here. They're starting to raise rates. The bond market is showing this as an inflationary, and it's going to show up with major problems. And we're starting to see, when you look at trends, you're starting to see all this. The four major bonds that are trading, U.S., Japan, Germany, and the U.K., all their bond yields have taken a turn. Bond yields are now being forced higher. When bond yields are higher, bond prices go lower. When bond prices go lower, the bond bubble is being formed, and now it's in serious trouble, and actually in a bubble. So this being a bigger bubble than stocks,
we could
see 2008 come.
Yeah. And you know, it seems like we live in a world of bubbles these days, doesn't it? So when we come back, I've got one more question about the Fed, because you've mentioned a phrase in the past and even today about them unwinding their balance sheet. We're going to ask some questions about that. And then we're going to talk about, instead of individual investors, let's look at countries. A lot of countries have been buying gold. What's going on there, and what's going on with Germany? And then ultimately, what's going on with China? And that's something that President Trump talked about. He tweeted about it over the weekend, something that David's been helping us with. We're going to talk to David Fisher when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Going to get right back with David Fisher today on a Money Monday. It's the first Monday of the month. We spend the whole hour with David. But wanted to remind you about one of our other great partners, MediShare. And the Noble family's been a part of MediShare it's about 5 years, coming up on 6 years now for us. And we just got fed up with the high cost of health insurance and also with Obamacare. When that came around, all of a sudden our dollars are being used to pay for things that obviously we disagree with. The Board of Fashions and abortion itself. That's why Hobby Lobby basically went to legal war against the federal government. And thank God that they won. But last time I checked, I'm not Hobby Lobby and neither are you. And so we don't have those kinds of resources at our disposal. But for us, it was a matter of budget and it was a matter of conscience, our Christian conscience. And so we pulled out of the regular insurance market and went with MediShare, which has been around since 93, pushing 300,000 Christians around the country now. We share each other's major medical expenses. So over $1 billion shared since 93. You can give them a call and find out for yourself what it's all about. 855-BIBLE-11. And by the way, MediShare is a not-for-profit organization, basically like a ministry. 855-BIBLE-11, now available in Montana. And again, do like I did 5 years ago or so and check it out for yourself. 855-BIBLE-11, but talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital and their website, just as a reminder, great information there, landmarkgold.com. And we were talking about the Fed and the new Jerome Powell coming in as the new Fed chairman and things going on with the bonds. But one of the phrases you use pretty often lately, David, is the Fed is, quote unquote, unwinding their balance sheet, which sounds a little nefarious to me, but I'm not the expert on these things. You are. So what does that mean?
Well, their balance sheet is holding U.S. dollars in the form of treasuries. That's the largest asset class. So since the Fed has been propped up the buying of it, because the world has backed away from buying our U.S. dollar through the treasury, which is created, by the way, when we overspend, we can't afford our spending habits, called a deficit. So the number one buyer is now the number one seller, the Fed. Think about how big that news is. Wow. They're unwinding. They're selling U.S. treasuries. And they're the number one holder of U.S. treasuries. They moved in that slot here.
Now, what are we to assume about that? Because that sounds like all wrong from one side to the other.
Well, I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but it sounds to me, well, first of all, they are forced into doing this. If rates go up, they're going to lose money. So they have to sell it from a financial standpoint. This also could tell us maybe they're preparing, like others are preparing around the world, big money, central banks are preparing for another problem coming in the next year or so, another major financial problem I'm referring to, and some are saying it's bigger than 2008. So the Fed has to get unleveraged. They have too much. This is not an asset, it's a liability when rates go up to them. So they have to get rid of this liability, ironically, which is supporting our spending habit. So they're getting rid of it in reference, in my opinion, because they're gearing up for the next time when we have a major financial crisis, they'll have the ability to leverage themselves again because they're leveraged at 77-1, and post-2008, they're only leveraged at 7-1. So they create all this money out of thin air called quantitative easing, and now they own a big portion of those treasuries that they were created from quantitative easing, the money that they used to buy treasuries. So this is now going the reverse. The tide came in, now the tide's going back out.
Now, is that would that factor into why so many countries are buying gold and who's the largest investor recently, because that continues to come up, countries buying gold?
Well, the largest investor on a personal level, on the individual investors like you and I, Steve, is Germany now. They 1 year ago they bought 17 tons of gold, individual citizens, and now they marked that year 100 tons of gold. So Germany's on a buying spree. Central banks have been on a buying spree since 2009. They're aggressively buying. And to put it into perspective, central banks have added more to their gold reserves in the last 3 years than all the years since 2010 prior back to 1964.
Wow.
So they're on a huge gold buying spree. They central banks look forward into the months and years, not for 1 or 2 years, but 5 to 10. So they're now moving into buying gold aggressively the last 5-6 years, anticipating something's going to happen. But as far as on a local level, local investors, Germany has outpaced even the Chinese here last year, and the Chinese have been the number one buyer on a local level and an international monetary level on a central bank level.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when you see entire countries moving in this direction, again, when we talk about precious metals and this type of activity, generally, we're talking about a mix of a portfolio or holdings, even not just an individual, but a country, in kind of anticipation of a big swing, a big pendulum swing in the market like we saw in 08 and other years. And so when we see that kind of movement, that size, we need to sit up and pay attention to that. And then, and you mentioned China, of course, and China's been buying a lot of gold. You've talked a lot about China in terms of not just gold, but oil and competing with the U.S. dollar. So just remind our listeners, if you would please, David, kind of the main issues going on around gold and oil and China and U.S. dollars.
Yeah, real quickly, back to Germany. Germany investors have an acute awareness of wealth eroding effects of their financial instability. And since the 1920, they've had 8 different changes in the currencies. And so they're seeing another one coming is what that really tells us. So, and that's been the last 100 years, 8 different changes. As far as China and oil, and they call it the petro yuan. And China's been gearing up for the launching of their currency, become a global international currency to compete with the U.S. dollar. And a week ago, they said they're going to be launching this in 2 months. This is probably the biggest news I've ever reported on in 25 years being in the industry. It really has nothing to do with gold. And that's not the main focus, that gold is on the backside of the news of this, because just like at one point, Steve, we were able to convert U.S. dollars into gold that central banks send over us our U.S. dollars, because the dollar was a world reserve currency, and they converted the dollar into gold. We sent them their gold. That stopped in 1971, so we had to create a reason for the world to hold dollars, and that's why we tied it into the oil. So how you become a part of an international trade, you got to tie your currency into oil, and we did that in 1974 with OPEC saying only sell oil denominated in dollar contracts. So the yuan, the Chinese citizens are the government is doing the same, and now they're allowing this to be converted, their currency from the yuan into gold, and they've set up all the pieces of the puzzle for that to happen. They own the largest gold vault in London, which is the hub of gold. They are now part of 16 entities that depict the price of gold daily, twice daily. They have one of the largest banks in London in reference to facilitate all this. And the London Bullion Market Association, for the first time in July, announced in over decades how much gold they have in their trading system to facilitate all this. And they got more gold than whatever Fort Knox has announced. So, and that hasn't happened since 1953. So this is all set up, and President Trump's getting in on the action because there's a thing called an IPO, initial public offering, coming out with the largest oil trading company in the world called Aramco. And that is a part of all this. I've been talking about it for now about 8 weeks on your program, and Financial News finally started talking about 3.5-4 weeks ago. So it's starting to come out. I think it's going to be the biggest topic that we're going to face as far as financial news in the fourth quarter this year.
Well, why do you think so many sources have been so slow to talk about it? Because, you know, because we've been talking about it for a couple months now, but this is the first time I've heard kind of some major financial sources talking about it.
It's not going to be a positive thing for the U.S. dollar. And that's not a popular news source to talk about. And it sounds somewhat, you know, kind of conspiratorial when it's not. This is the same thing that we would be talking about if it was our currency, which actually did happen in 1944, called the Bretton Woods Agreement. So it's the topic that is really newsworthy, but the ramifications for us could be detrimental. I'm not going to go to the extreme that some metal dealers will say the dollar is going to collapse. It's not going to do that, but we're going to have a competition. Another currency for the first time ever competing with the U.S. dollar. And this currency, I think you're going to hear announcements someday down the road, I'll say even maybe next year, that China might announce that their currency is backed by gold and list a independent audit outside of their country that just come in and audit their gold holdings. So it's going to change the course of the competition with the dollar, and that's why President Trump tweeted on Saturday morning and said this, quote, "We are very much would appreciate that if the Saudis would list the Saudi Aramco in the U.S., saying it is important to the United States," end quote. So it's President Trump understands the financial liability that could happen if we don't get our dollar still being used in the world reserve, and he sees this as a game changer, and he's doing everything he can on his side to keep this in our country, at least the IPO. But there's no stopping China on this. They're going to go forward on the trade, because 6,000 traders have already set up their trading accounts on launching the Petro Yuan, and they've already done testing and the financial structure of the system. So it's all go. It's just a matter of now doing the launch.
Yeah, that's some remarkably scary and very sobering news to consider, which is why we appreciate having David on the show, David with Landmark Capital. Their phone number is always 844-879-8882 for any information, education you want, or landmarkgold.com. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. We'll be right back after this.
What will make a man so bold? Here's that.
Make a woman lay her own life down.
Yeah, that's right.
Only one thing, Jesus Christ, magnified.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Another, just wanted to mention real quickly, another one of our new sponsors here in North Carolina. If you're listening to the show on Truth Radio in North Carolina, which is really kind of the backbone of Call to Action Radio. That's where I started on radio back in 2007, and Stu Epperson and the team is really how God enabled me to get on the radio in the first place. So we really appreciate our friends at the Truth Radio Network, and they have a new partner that we're happy to work with and try to bless. And it's a company we've all known for years, Oreck. Of course, Oreck vacuum cleaner has been around since 1963. So they have some great deals for Truth Radio listeners in North Carolina and some amazing products, and it's definitely worth your while to check it out. And we certainly appreciate their help with the Truth Radio Network and with Call to Action Radio, too, quite frankly. So you can just go to their website, oreckcarolinas.com. That's O-R-E-C-K, oreckcarolinas.com, and check that out for yourself. You'll be glad that you did. We're talking to David Fisher, our friend from Landmark Capital, today with a Money Monday. The first Monday of every month, we spend the whole show with David and have a lot of different things to talk about. We were talking about China and oil and gold, and then we jumped into this thing that I fear that a lot of people are clueless about, Aramco and their initial public offering. President Trump tweeted about it on Saturday morning. I know you had a couple more thoughts about that again, but if anybody didn't hear that, what is Aramco? What's the deal with them going public, and what were your other thoughts on that?
Well, just think with me, if Saudi Arabia a few years ago sold oil at $100 a barrel and it drops down to in the mid-30s, that's going to cause a recession in your country, and that's what actually happened with Saudi Arabia. Now oil's trading in the $50, $52 range today. So it's recovered, but not near as much as what you thought it would. You're still half the value where it was, and now you created all this economic development that you got to pay for over time, and the oil drops, so you're in a recession. So they need to compensate, and they're doing an IPO. They're trying to raise about $100 billion. So how, if you're China and you want to be in the world market, how do you get involved in the worldwide currency market and compete with the dollar? You got to get involved with oil, the largest trading commodity in the world. And if you offer to make payment in the second largest commodity in the world called gold, all the better. And that's what China has done. So they're now launching this petrodollar, but they're also wanting to be involved with Aramco. And Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who's the Saudi's crown prince, the guy who controls the whole thing in Saudi Arabia, the equivalency of the president, he said that the Chinese want to secure oil supplies. They're willing to take the whole 5% or even more. Mm. So this is why I think you're going to see a private placement done between China. It will solidify the relationship with China and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia will get the money immediately, and this will cause when they do the IPO, either through London or New York, then they'll get extra money coming on a true IPO because they've already done the private placement. So what does this mean to us? It means a competition towards the U.S. dollar, but this competition is now tied into oil, which is tied into gold and creates another alternative currency for the world to use, since just about every country, Steve, uses oil, and China is the largest client of Saudi Arabia, and certainly Saudi Arabia is not going to lose that client that buys a million barrels a day from Saudi Arabia. So this is a shoe-in, I think. I think that's where we're going with this. It's going to be detrimental, unfortunately, to the U.S. dollar. Many people are saying this is going to be possibly the wake-up call, and we're going to see the dollar being used less around the world, which is the whole problem that we're facing already.
So when Trump tweeted about this on Saturday and basically said he sure hopes that they bring that initial public offering and put Aramco on the New York Stock Exchange, is that him basically trying to get something for America out of this deal? Because the rest of this deal doesn't sound very good for us at all.
Well, the whole deal, the New York Stock Exchange, there's around $21 trillion of value there, and several other international companies have dual listings like Toyota, Honda, and Alibaba, and Deutsche Bank, and even UBS. So it's kind of a shoe-in if we get this here. It will help, and it'll probably be released through Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. They want to be involved in it. It will cause, you know, wealth to come to our country through New York. But it's, you know, however it gets launched, if China gets involved in it, that's going to be the bigger card and key in the issue here. But, yeah, President Trump understands the significance of this. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing more and more talk about proper sanctions maybe being put against China or maybe now even Saudi Arabia to push this to happen and keep China out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so complicated. On one hand, like what we're talking about, what you're describing, we're in a little bit of a battle on China. On the other hand, on the same exact day, same exact week, same exact season, Trump trying to work with China, and China's been very cooperative in putting pressure on North Korea. But, you know, it's on one hand, we're friends. On the other hand, we're basically enemies. This is a remarkably complex financial world that we're in right now. So, you know, I guess the bottom line for all of us as investors, David, I mean, how do we deal with all this information when most of us are just kind of normal investors? You have some stocks, you have some bonds, maybe mutual funds, and then you have some precious metals to kind of balance things out. How do we deal with all this crazy news that's coming out of the financial world and what you're sharing with us today? And it seems like pretty much every Money Monday, even the updates, we're getting some really, really disturbing news. What do we do?
Well, change is coming. I sense it in my spirit. A lot of people I talk to that call in from your program and many others feel that something's getting ready to happen. They just can't put their finger on it. What could trigger it? It could be the China Petro One issue. It could be the bond market popping. It could be the overstock market. And I'm not against any of these things, but markets don't continue in an upward movement all the time. Right, they all correct. Even gold does that. So The markets will change, and we live in a changing environment. Our trust has to be in the Lord, and our investments that we've been called to be good steward needs to be properly diversified. Have some money in cash. Have some money in stocks. Limit your holdings in these overvalued products. Make sure you have some balanced out in precious metals, because in 2008, gold went up 72% and on a multi-year run after that, while stocks were lagging.
Yeah, and what are some of the resources that are available for folks with your team there at Landmark Capital?
Well, I just put out a brand new newsletter that has much more in depth that we could talk about, which is called Black Gold for Yellow Gold, The Trade That Changes the World. And we also have our new seventh edition on the coming bail-in, which also talks a little bit about how this black gold for yellow gold could trigger the bail-in, because it all revolves around the dollar, which also the Fed could trigger this, the Fed selling this asset class. So get that, the new updates on the seventh edition, the coming bail-in. And then we also have some literature called Changing Directions and Changing Times. We are changing right now, and I think we're going to see a big change in 2018. All fundamentals point to that, and 20 billionaires are saying that for next year. So get prepared for a change that's possibly coming. That could really change directions of people's money if they don't act accordingly. So get those by calling us or by going to our website.
Yeah, and what's the phone number? What's the website again?
LandmarkGold.com, or they can call us at 844-879-8882.
And 20 billionaires didn't get that way because they're stupid.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, on a side note, Steve, the company in the last 2 months has done more volume of sales than the previous 8 months. Something has been happening. Wow. Big investors are waking up. They're getting their financial future secured by diversifying more into gold, and maybe a bigger portion, or maybe for the first time. But we're seeing big money coming into the market. The volumes are happening globally, not only central banks, not only individuals in Germany, but the purchases of gold, even though the volume or the dollar amount hasn't changed that much. You know, we haven't seen gold escalate beyond belief. It's only gone up 11% this year, 11.6%. But I think, you know, we're gearing up for the future, what might happen next year or the year after. So if people sense in their gut or their spirit, something just has never got really fixed since 2008, that should be the trigger that tells you it's going to get addressed again. The markets will be forced to address the problem of our debt.
Yeah, and I want to and thanks for sharing all that, of course, David. And David and I were talking earlier today, and David, if I can take the liberty here at the last minute or so of the show, I'd like to get everybody involved in praying for David and his wife Marianne and their son Eric. Eric started working with David and Marianne a few weeks ago, and today just had an episode there at the office and slurred speech and problems like that. So he's actually at the hospital right now getting an MRI. So, David, if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask our audience to join us in praying for you and your family and for Eric, your son. Is that okay?
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, let's do that now. We've got about a minute left. Father God, we just come before you today and lift up our brother in Christ and our sister in Christ and their family. We lift up David and Marianne. We lift up their son, Eric. Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name, that we know that you are the great physician, you are the provider, you are all-powerful and all-knowing and good and gracious God. So we just lift up Eric to you for healing and peace and comfort, Lord, in this challenging day and the fear that might be there and just being scared, not knowing what's going on with your own body, Father. We pray for the doctors and the nurses and all the techs that are involved there at the hospital, Lord, that they'll have wisdom and discernment to help Eric and be able to provide answers. Lord, we pray that you would work through the doctors. We thank you for their knowledge and their ability to discern and know these things, Father, that we've come so far in our understanding of how our bodies work. But Lord, we do confidently and boldly just pray for healing. Touch Eric's body right now. Touch his mind. Touch wherever the problem is. Bring healing to him, Lord. We ask that in Jesus' name, and we ask for the doctors and the nurses and all the staff there, Lord, to have the discernment they need to help and serve Eric and his family. And we ask all this, Father, in the matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. David Fisher, I love you, my brother. Stay on the line, because we're going to pray a little bit more on Facebook Live. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for being with us today. Friends, again, if you want to get some information, you want to follow up on some of the things David was sharing, you can give them a call, 844-879-8882, or their website is landmarkgold.com. www.calltoaction.com. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Tomorrow we'll be talking about just this brutal, devastating shooting yesterday at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs. We'll spend the whole show on that tomorrow. We'll probably be praying for them as well. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.